So, first of all, let me say, Lou DeBerardinis and I worked on this together. Lou is unfortunately not able to come today, so he asked me to fill in. I have no disclosures to offer. And what I wanted to do was actually set the stage. I think my colleagues are going to be talking about some specific and really exciting projects that they've been working on, and I'm here to sort of set the stage for that. This is a small group. We're going to adhere to the timelines and stuff like that, but if you have a question or if you want to add something, I think we can be informal and feel free to do that, and I promise to adhere to the timelines if someone hits me when it's time. So people here are familiar with root cause analysis. How many people have actually participated in projects? So I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on the detail of how to do root cause analysis, but I wanted to provide a little bit of framework for the conversation. So the logic model that we've been using is around identifying what happened, why it happened, what can we do to prevent it, and how are we going to know whether what we did make a difference. And I underline that because the issue about metrics and being able to know whether we've gotten the results we want, and if we haven't, what are we going to do about it, is an important piece of this and often missed in our work in general, and certainly here. So it's a tool. Root cause analysis is a tool. And what we're really working on within organizations is prevention strategies. What can we do to learn from these to prevent future occurrences? But we want a model that can be consistently used across various areas and that we can teach and that people can learn, so that it needs to be methodical and information-driven. And we'll talk more about the fact that it needs to be impartial. And I think that begins to play an important part in the conversation. I offer this. I'm not going to read it. But this is sort of the template for the elements that we're using for root cause analysis. And I can tell just a quick little story. The issue about goals becomes really important. You may think you know when you get into a room and an adverse or an unanticipated event has occurred, and you may think you know what the goal is and what you're working on. And recently I was working on a project with some of my colleagues in facilities and environmental health and services around a fan that had gone bad and put a computer at risk and whole bunches of other things. And what turned out was what some of us thought we were working on, which was trying to figure out why the fan went bad, was not what other people were thinking about. They were thinking about, well, why was there a delay in getting the fan back up and running? Well, it became really important for us. So the goal is not inconsequential in terms of how to get started with this. And then the process of data collection, sort of everybody agreeing about what the process is, and then using some of the tools to understand what happened and identify root causes, making those recommendations for change and including in those recommendations the metrics. So that's sort of the quick and dirty. So in the context of this, I work in the medical department at MIT. And the health arena has been doing a lot of work over the many years around root cause analysis, learning from other industries. By the way, we didn't invent it, but we use it. As MIT put forward as part of its critical initiatives a couple of years ago, one of the areas was around risk, both in terms of proactive sort of enterprise risk management and thinking about that, but also root cause analysis. So this was a major target area, and this was the model that was put forward from our executive vice president and treasurer's office, Israel Ruiz's office. The content is important, but the notion of a circle is really important as well, because I like to think in terms of closed-loop systems. So how are we going to know, and making sure that we can come back to that original point and make sure that we've actually closed the loop, that we've identified those issues and that we've identified the solutions, and we can say, yeah, we've done something to minimize risk. But this is codifying some of the work that MIT is doing, and MIT is interested in pushing this out as a cultural shift. So it's not about how many we do, it's not about how many adverse events we have, it's helping the organization and the employees within the organizations think in terms of, if something happens, how should we think about, what should we do? The first thing we should do is be thinking about first take care of what we need to. In the medical community, it's first take care of the patient, obviously, but then take the time to say, why did it happen? And how do we do that in a way that can be effective? So we put together, working group was put together. I was actually brought in a little bit later, about a year and a half ago, to the work because I had some background in this. And these were the objectives of the group. This is coming from senior leadership at MIT. This is a group that was convened within that, and this was their charge. And nothing earth-shattering here, right, except that this was new. This is not the facilities, the construction area, the police department, all of the administrative areas, the HR area, all of the different areas that were involved in this, environmental health and safety. This is not something that had been commonly taught, used, or thought about. So the group, and this is a very high-level picture, and the colors do mean something. Green does mean go in a sense, and red are the more serious events. The group actually worked to articulate what would it look like if we had a system, because we're starting from scratch. We're not sure how to do this. So we played this out, and this is happening initially at the senior-most level. The directors who report to the executive vice president are involved at the initial level saying, this is an event that occurred. Their managers, their employees, their supervisors are reporting up through the chain of command and letting them know about events that are occurring. And with advice from the people who work for them, they're making decisions about, is this a serious incident that requires a formal root cause analysis in the red that's going to be across departments? Do we need to sit down with facilities, and HR and environmental health and services? Again, these are groups that work together but are not commonly, their work is not commonly overlap and working. So how do we do this? Sometimes if it's a serious event, the general counsel's office needs to get involved, the OGC. We need to get legal advice. The committee, this group of directors, would need to get involved. So we're making decisions about this. If it's serious but can be handled within the facilities area or the engineering and construction department, they will still do a formal root cause analysis, but they don't. It will track differently, and it won't necessarily be interdisciplinary. And the green are really the huddles, right? When something happens, it's important not to lose what happened, but you're not necessarily going to formally bring a group together. You may not produce a formal report, but you're going to huddle. You're going to at least make some decisions about anything that needs to be changed. And all of this comes up through to a root cause analysis committee. These are the directors. Now, we're still working on this, okay? This is a year and a half old. The directors who report to the executive vice president of MIT are not actually operationally going to be managing this directly, but they need to be a part of it. So we're still trying to figure this out. So here are the guidelines we developed for what are the types of events that could occur that would generate a need for a root cause analysis. And it's any, if you notice, by the way, these are not necessarily what you would commonly associate with a root cause analysis. So institute reputation, MIT is often in the news in a wonderful way. MIT does not want things that are happening that could damage its reputation. Nor would any organization. We have everything from financial issues. I just recently was working on a project with the finance office. What's root cause analysis with finance? It wasn't even about fraud. They were taking in a reporting quarter, 12 weeks. It would take them 7 weeks, the following 7 weeks, to close the quarter. Were there things that we could do that could make that group be more effective and efficient so that they could actually be getting to some of the other work that they wanted to be able to. So how do we bring some of the thinking around root cause to the work that people are doing and look at it as an opportunity to think differently? So let me talk a little bit about where we are. Any sort of questions, thoughts at this point, comments?
Yeah,
Okay. So we've been at this about a year and a half. We have an ad hoc working group. I say ad hoc advisedly because it's been in existence for about 2 years and it's not clear that it's going to have terminate anytime soon, but we're trying to figure out. But this is, how do we bring this into the organizational culture and the operation and make it a part of the work? So we've done about 12 pilots. Everything, as I mentioned, one in finance, one with radiation safety, we've done one in facilities, we've done several in facilities, some in environmental health and safety. We're using a train-the-trainer model. So I trained this ad hoc group that represents the various areas under the executive vice president. And those people then have, several of them now, have done root cause analysis projects. I've observed some of them. And now they're actually, in one of our areas, the manager has sort of really taken it on, and he's got several projects going on within his area, and using me periodically for sort of guidance or sort of, you know, when he needs help. So we have multiple recommendations that have come out of these. So this is back to sort of, how do we know how well we're doing? These were pilots. We had different expectations, but we did have significant and serious recommendations from them. So four of the pilots have actually completed. Many of the pilots are more recent, and so they haven't actually completed their work. And of those, we probably have about, I want to say there are about 10 recommendations, and about four or five of them have actually been implemented, and the others are in play. So we're tracking the pilots, we're tracking the recommendations, we're tracking who's been trained, we're tracking who's involved to try to figure out, how is this working? How do we spread this? How do we get people invested and say, well, wait a second, this is a good way to do business? So here's some of what we've learned so far. I want to talk about leadership and safety. I'm thinking about safety, by the way, in terms of how safe is it for me to participate in this? How safe is it? Am I going to get someone in trouble? Am I going to get in trouble? If I say something here, is my boss or is going to hear about it, and is that going to be a problem? This is a really significant issue when you're working on problems, right? Because if you don't have an environment where it's safe to have the conversation, then you're not going to really be able to be effective. Well, how do you do that? How do you create an environment that's no blame? And this is back to the issue of culture. Does the leadership mean it when they say, we want these things to happen? And how is the leadership going to demonstrate that it is okay and it is safe? Partly, they're participating. Some of the leaders have actually been participating in these projects. And the other are, we establish some rules. All right? So there's some rules for the projects, things like what's said in here stays in here. And until we all agree on what we're doing and what the report out is going to be, you know, we can let people know we're doing it and what we're working on, but the detail of it stays within the group, and the group agrees that that's going to be the way it is. But part of this is going to be, show me. You know, down the road, people are going to want to see that there's been some result and that it has been safe. So again, still working on this. Big issue also for people has been this notion of, it's not about people, right? It's about systems. And it really is, right? If there are personnel issues associated with a root cause project that's been identified, they're not dealt with in the root cause project. And in fact, in some instances, there won't be a root cause analysis depending upon the situation. If you have an egregious personnel issue, you have to deal with that issue. We're focusing on systems. And, you know, 95% of the time, my experience over the years is that when you look at an issue, when you look at a problem, it's really about the system. Now, it may be human factors issues, it may be, in fact, the valve, but it's about the system, the workflow, and how things are designed. So these are some of the lessons that we are learning and trying to make sure we're pushing out as we're moving forward with this initiative. So going forward, we have some expectations and timelines, but these are some of the issues that we're working on now. And this is in line with what we've learned, right? So how do we effectively work interdepartmentally in an environment where that's not generally the way in which people get work done And how is it safe to be working cross-departmentally without feeling as if people are pointing fingers? Because it's very easy to say, you know, this was their fault. You know, move it away from you. How do we communicate the results? Because one of the things we also know about culture change is that we need people to have information. We need to get back to people. So we're asking them to do something. We need to put that information back out. What have the results been? What have we learned? How do we communicate? How do we codify this in some way that people can get to it? Resources are an issue, obviously. Time and money. It's mostly time, which converts to money, but it's time and money. And thinking proactively is my biggest thing at this point. This is, how do we move from the reactive root cause analysis into the proactive environment and think in terms of how can we avoid even having to do a root cause analysis. So that's where MIT is thinking at this point. So MIT is looking at risk management from an enterprise level and looking both proactively in terms of identifying risk and doing there's a risk council that's looking at risk identification. And we have the reactive side in terms of the root cause analysis and trying to figure out how to integrate those functions in a way that they inform each other. And so that's the push going forward.